At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Stardom Cast. This is a podcast where we talk all things about the fantastic, amazing, and spectacular professional wrestling company that is Stardom. And folks, we do it in a positive and what I like to think fun manner. I am your host for this extra special bonus episode. My name is Matt Turner. And folks, we are all finished with the fantastic 2024 five-star Grand Prix. And I figured what a better way to come off this fantastic five-star Grand Prix than this new little bonus series that I'm giving to every single listener of the Stardom Cast. Yes, as you see in the description box, I will be watching, pardon me, and reviewing every single five-star Grand Prix final match all the way up into this one we just saw just a few weeks ago with Micah and Saya Kamatani. Now, folks, before I get started, I cannot find the five-star Grand Prix final from the very first one from 2012 with Yuzuki Aikawa and Kyoki Kimura. If anybody can point me in the right direction, send me a link, something, please let me know because I'm a completist. I want to be able to complete this entire series that I'm doing, and this is going to be done over the course of like three or four episodes. These are all going to be quick hitters. These are going to be anywhere between 3 or 4 matches per episode until we get to that Micah Saikamatani match, that phenomenal, my opinion, 5-star final from the 5 stars. See what I did there? 5-star, 5-star. But anywho, I'm starting this episode off with 2013, with Nanai Takahashi versus Alpha Female, and then I'm going up until 2016 with Tessa Blanchard versus Yoko Beato. Again, folks, I cannot find the final of the very first 5-star Grand Prix with Kimura versus Ayakawa. If anybody can, send me a DM. You know how to get a hold of me, Matt Turner OF. Please let me know so then I can watch it and then I can add it into one of these shows. And I'll give you a shout out. And if you live in the United States, I will send you a whole bunch of stickers. Or Canada or Mexico as well. We can see just because the postage is insane, but whatever. You know, hey, we're a team here. We're a team here. But I hope everybody's doing great. I hope you're better today than you were yesterday. Or I hope you were better last month than you were this month. Because, folks, that's what everything is all about. Self-improvement. So, yes, folks, because just how great this past year's 5-star Grand Prix was. And really, pretty much every 5-star Grand Prix for the last handful of years, especially the last 3 years of 2021, 2022, 2023, despite all the injuries, and this one, 2024, I was very motivated. Not that it takes much to get me motivated, folks. I was very motivated to do something special, a little something extra, as a thank you to the fantastic listeners of the Stardom Cast. So that's what I did. And I'm going to be doing, again, these are going to be quick hitter episodes, not too long, as I'm reviewing anywhere between 3 to 4 matches and putting them up on the Stardom Cast. So this is part one. Again, we're going to start with 2013 with Nanai Takahashi versus Alpha Female. 2014 is Io Shirai versus Yoshinko. 2015, one of the most underrated matches in Stardom history, Kairi Hojo versus Hudson Envy. And we will end this episode with a 2016 final as Yoko Beato takes on Tessa Blanchard. So, folks, let me get a drink of water. Without any further ado, let's crack open the vault. Let's crack open some fantastic 5-star final action. All right, folks. Pardon me. 2013, we go to the second 5-star Grand Prix final. We go to the legendary Corkin Hall as Nanai Takahashi takes on one Alpha Female. And if you're keeping score at home, these are two wrestlers. Both these wrestlers have held the World of Stardom Championship. Again, this is from September 23rd, 2013, in the legendary Corkin Hall. Nanai Takahashi runs in with a quick lariat to try to get the advantage, but Alpha Female really bolts her down, buries her down with some forearms, beats her down with some forearms, and some kicks. The one thing I noticed quickly in this match, not very many matches where Alpha Female is not the dominant hard-hitting wrestler here, because Nanai Takahashi is not the dominating wrestler here, because Alpha Female just has such a great presence about her. Alpha Female's game plan is very, very clear. She goes after Nanai's right arm. Makes sense. Take away the lariats. Take away the Nanai rocker. Really smart strategy here. Alpha Female just dominates Nanai Takahashi here in the early parts of the match. Again, more forms, more kicks, and more arm damage done to the arm of Nanai Takahashi. Eventually, though, Alpha Female hits a lariat that sends Nanai to the floor. Nanai Alpha Female starts dominating Nanai here. She uses a chair onto Nanai's arm. You're starting to build up some sympathy here because Alpha Female is just really, really dominant over the hero here that is Nanai Takahashi. Alpha Female hits a shoulder tackle and she goes directly to the floor. Nanai Takahashi hits a big dive and quickly pitches Alpha Female back in the ring. She hits a series of lariats and a neck breaker for a 2 count, as we see Nanai Takahashi starting to get some of her shine back. Really the first crux of offense in this match from Nanai Takahashi. Eventually Alpha Female, though, goes back to Nanai's arm. That opens up a crossface. However, Nanai Takahashi, being the KG veteran that she is, basically uses the crossface that she's in and reverses it and puts a crossface of her own on Alpha Female. Really cool stuff there. They get to the ropes. They get back in the middle of the ring. We get a stiff slap exchange between the two. And then we get a German suplex exchange between the two. Nanai Takahashi hits a big lariat that scores her 2 count. Alpha Female gets up and hits a Alpha Female gets the knees up on the top rope splash, the refrigerator bomb. So you see Nanai Takahashi finally starting to build some momentum here with these clotheslines. Hits a back suplex, goes to the top rope for the big splash, the refrigerator bomb. But it's Alpha Female that is able to get the knees up on the refrigerator bomb. Alpha Female then hits a big folding powerbomb for a 2 count. Alpha Female then goes to the top rope. Kind of perplexed here, because what was Alpha Female going to do from the top rope? She's not a high flyer. And Nanai Takahashi, Nanai Takahashi, she knows that. We get a top rope fight, and Nanai is able to hit the superplex for a 2 count. And then she goes back to the top rope. She hits not one, but two refrigerator bombs for 2.9. Everybody, including me, thought this was the finish of the match. Again, I haven't seen this match up until when I just watched it a couple days ago, a match that's 11 years old. So I thought that was the finish, hitting that refrigerator bomb that she's won so many matches with twice back-to-back. And considering the brilliance that is Nanai Takahashi, how she misses the first refrigerator bomb, goes back to it, hits it twice, I thought that'd be a great way to end the match. But it's not over just yet. Alpha Female comes back with a huge lariat, but it's Nanai Takahashi with fighting spirit. Whatever is left in the gas tank, she lets it all out with this huge thunderous lariat and then is able to cradle Alpha Female up for the 3 count, 13 minutes and 8 seconds. I had this at 3 3/4 stars as Nanai Takahashi wins the second ever 5-star Grand Prix. Folks, we stay in Cork and Hall, and I believe we stay. Is this the same date? Yes, how about this? September 23rd, 2014. So how about that? A year to the date. Cork and Hall, Io Shirai. Yes, that Io Shirai, or also known as Io Sky, taking on Yoshiko. These two folks, and I've seen this match maybe about 3 years ago, but these two have a great match when Io Shirai is the World of Stardom champion from Io's first reign. Spoilers for a match that's like 10 years old, when Yoshiko defeats Io to win the World of Stardom Championship. This was a good match, don't get me wrong, but if you have time, and I think you probably find it on YouTube, because I don't know if it's on Stardom. Well, regardless, it's pretty easy to find. Io Shirai defending the World of Stardom Championship against Yoshiko. I don't have the date off the top of my head, but I think if you just put that in the old Google machine or the old YouTube machine, you shall find it, because that was an excellent, excellent match. Io is playing no games here with the big bully Yoshiko. As Io jumps Yoshiko, match quickly goes to the floor. Io is throwing chairs at Yoshiko. You would think that Io is the heel here because of the jump and just the aggressiveness here. But obviously, Io is very well loved in Korakuen Hall. And Yoshiko does play a great job of being an over-the-top bully in the heel role. Io hits a moonsault off the entrance stage. Eventually, Yoshiko comes back, punishes Io with some strikes. Io then is able to reverse her fortune, hits a big dive to the floor. She pitches Yoshiko back in the ring, and she hits her signature springboard dropkick, 619, springboard sunset flip combination for a 2 count. Io then quickly locks a face in. Io quickly locks in a crossface on the bigger and stronger Yoshiko. Eventually, Yoshiko gets to the ropes. Io beats her all the way over to the turnbuckle, and then Io hits the running bullet train knees for a 2 count. Yoshiko is able to come back with a huge, huge clothesline and a pair of wicked, wicked stiff boot scrapes. Folks, if you've seen the Yoshiko versus Mayu Iwatani match from All-Star Dream Cinderella from back in 2021 in the Legendary Budokan Hall, you know how violent one Yoshiko can be. And this boot scrape that she hits on Io, it's like the same pair of violence that she hits on Mayu. So Thunder Rock, it looks like that Yoshiko's trying to maybe crack the rock here. Excellent stuff there. Io slips out of a DVD, hits a Shotai palm strike, then a head kick, and then a stiff buzzsaw kick. Io comes off the ropes with her momentum. Yoshiko hits a huge lariat for a 2 count. This is one where Io does like takes the huge shooting star press bump. Like, just turns her inside out. I mean, this is a great, great spot as you think Io is starting to build up back her own momentum, but just takes one big lariat from the bigger, badder Yoshiko to basically turn Io legit inside out on this clothesline. Excellent stuff. We get a forearm trade-off between the two. Somehow, Iyu gets the better of the forearm trade-off. Iyu hits a straight jacket German suplex for a two count. Iyu comes back off the ropes and is met with another huge lariat from Yoshiko. Yoshiko follows that up with a DVD for a two count. Yoshiko goes to the top rope, but Iyu hits a top rope hurricanrana and then is able to, that scores her a two count. She then hits a, she goes back to the top rope for a moonsault, misses. Yoshiko hits not one, but two top ropes, or second rope sentons for a two count. Iyu gets the momentum back with a pair of strikes and buzzsaw kicks. She hits a standing moonsault, a second rope moonsault, and then a top rope moonsault combination from a two count. However, Yoshiko fires back with a series of short arm lariats. She goes for a fourth short arm lariat. Iyu ducks it. Iyu hits a straight jacket German suplex for a two count. She quickly fires up, goes back to the top rope, and hits the pitcher perfect moonsault. Easy for me to say. Iyu hits the pitch perfect moonsault for the three count as Io Shirai becomes the third winner of the five-star Grand Prix. She got this done in 12 minutes, 46 seconds. This is 4 stars from me. Excellent, excellent stuff from one Io Shirai and Yoshiko. And again, as good as this match is, go out of your way to find their match for the World of Stardom Championship. And again, we know we have a lot of new listeners to Stardom. Welcome. Definitely search out. I mean, if you're a subscriber to Stardom World, which you should be, it's like $6.40 a month. It's less than $2 a week. Definitely go and watch All-Star Dream Cinderella from March of 2021 in Budokan Hall. Has the epic main event of Tam versus Julia, hair versus hair for the Wonder of Stardom Championship. And arguably the best match on the show is Yoshiko's return to Stardom to take on the icon of Stardom and one Mayu Iwatani. So yes, definitely go out of your way to seek those matches and let me know what you think about them. Folks, we go to the very next show. And again, I think this is the same date, the 23rd of August. Yeah, it only changed. Wow, the first handful of years. I'm going to have to look in Rob's book to see what was the date of the Ayakawa vs. Kimura final. Because this is 3 years in a row that we're doing the finals on the 23rd of September. How about that? That's something that I think that we as us Stardom fans should talk more about. Anywho, folks, we go to September 23rd, 2015, once again in Korakuen Hall. The winner of the Red Stars block, Kairi Hojo, also known as Kairi, now known as Kairi Sane in the WWE, taking on one Hudson Envy. And folks, to our listeners on the Patreon, I did this one as a solo alternate commentary like 2 years ago. And I've never seen Hudson Envy before. And I was blown away by how good she was. I went back and watched some of her stuff. She's an excellent wrestler. I don't think she's still wrestling. I know I put this question out in the ether and somebody much smarter than me, which isn't saying much for me, but somebody much smarter than me and more knowledgeable of me about Stardom quickly told me that she retired, I think, like 2018 or 2019. But Hudson Envy is a fantastic wrestler, and this was a fantastic match.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
And folks, Stardom Kyrie's like untouched. She really, really is. She had a great return back in 2022, but her stuff here in like 2015, 2016, and even 2017 before she left to go to the WWE is really good stuff. I mean, Stardom Kyrie Hojo is like a different level. She really is. Match starts off, we get a forearm exchange, and then we get a slap exchange, and then we get chop exchange. So these two are not mixing any emotions here. There's no feeling out process. These two, really, you can tell that they do not like each other. And Hudson Envy is here to become the first foreign winner, first Gaijing of this tournament. And she knows that she needs to take out one part of the three daughters of Stardom and one Kyrie. So yeah, really good exchanges in the beginning with the forearms, the chops, and the slaps. Kyrie tries to slow things down, starts grinding away on Hudson Envy with the headlock. Then we get a test of strength between the two. Hudson Envy is very technically sound, really able to not only go hold for hold with Kyrie here in the beginning parts of the match, but almost out-wrestling her, which is something you don't see often. Hudson hits a spinning power slam and hits a big back body drop that sends Kyrie over the top rope. Hudson Envy then hits an apron dive, and then she puts Kyrie on like this cart. I'm assuming this is a cart they use to move tables in Cork and Hall, because she puts Kyrie on this cart, and then she goes basically chair bowling with Kyrie on this cart. I've never seen that before, and I've never seen it since. I thought that was something really, really interesting. And when I went back and watched this match a few days ago for this podcast, probably haven't seen that match in about 2 years. And other than the finish, that's the thing I remember the most about this match. And folks, sometimes it's just moments, certain things you remember, certain moments in wrestling, in a match, in a promo, in a story. And this one really, really stood out to me. I remember that like it was yesterday. And again, I probably hadn't seen this match in close to about 2 years. Eventually the match gets back in the ring. Kyrie goes for the big interceptor spear, but she misses. Hudson Envy hits a big wheel kick that scores her a two count. Kyrie finally, after getting beat up for the last 2 or 3 minutes by the bigger and badder Hudson Envy. She finally hits the big interceptor spear that sends Hudson Envy to the floor. Kyrie then hits a dive to the floor back inside. Kyrie goes up the top rope and hits that big top rope elbow smash for a two count. Kyrie then fires back with the slingshot neck breaker. That scores her a two count as well. Kyrie then puts Hudson Envy in the straight jacket camel clutch. As you see, Kyrie's trying to build up her offense to work over the neck of the bigger Hudson Envy. Hudson gets the advantage back with some forearms and a clothesline. She goes for the muscle buster. However, Kyrie slips out of the muscle buster. We get a forearm trade out between the two. Hudson wins the forearm fest, drops Kyrie into the turnbuckle. Hudson then starts mocking Kyrie, doing her plank walk from turnbuckle to turnbuckle. That's just terrible. She hits a big avalanche in the corner. That she follows that up with she goes for a top rope superplex. Well, every superplex is from the top rope, Matt. She goes for a superplex. Kyrie blocks it. They have a top rope fight that Kyrie wins. Kyrie is able to hit the Marine Spike, and then she fires up using that fighting spirit from the Pirate Princess. Our Pirate Princess hits a big sliding D for a two count. Kyrie quickly goes up to the top rope for the insane elbow. Hudson Envy is just a little bit too smart for that, is able to put the feet up on the insane elbow, kicking Kyrie right in the face and blocking the insane elbow all in one fell swoop. Excellent stuff here. Really great ebb and flow between these two. Hudson then starts hitting a series of short lariats onto Kyrie. She follows that up with an air raid crash for a two count. Hudson then goes over to the top rope, hits a big top rope splash. That scores her a two count. She starts to fire back up on Kyrie here. Kyrie then fires back up on Hudson. She hits not one, not two, but three cutlasses that finally drops Hudson Envy. Kyrie goes to the top rope. She hits an insane elbow. This one hits Hudson Envy in the back of the neck where Kyrie was targeting a lot of her offense. She then turns the prone Hudson Envy around, goes to the top rope, hits in its second insane elbow to the front of Hudson Envy. And folks, that's all she wrote. 1, 2, 3, 18 minutes, 16 seconds. It's Kyrie Hojo wins the fourth ever five-star Grand Prix, keeping it in the family, keeping it with the three daughters of stardom, and keeping it with the freedom. This was an excellent match. And again, folks, if you are new to stardom and haven't seen this match, I'm pretty sure that you're familiar with Kyrie. You know, if you're delving into stardom, you know about the history. That is Mayu. That is Io. Pardon me, that is Kyrie. And then, obviously, Kyrie's a worldwide star. She's on Monday Night Raw pretty much every Monday. She's a huge star for the WWE. This is her second run with the WWE, former NXT champion, former tag champion in the WWE. So the winner of the first Mae Young Classic. This is a great match. Great, great match. I mean, the Kyrie stuff in this run, the matches with Mayu. She's got three great matches with Io. And she's got two great must-see World of Stardom Championship matches with one Mako Satomura. Take time. Go out of your way. Watch some Kyrie matches. But watch this one. This one is really good. This is like the first really true, almost like epic five-star final. And not that the Nyan Alpha female wasn't, and not that Yoshiko and Io was. It's just this one seemed like it was going to the next level. It really was. The way that this was ebbing and flowing, the way they were using the outside, the violence, and the fact that Kyrie had to use three cutlasses and then two insane elbows to put Hudson Envy away is really akin. I mean, that just goes to show you how much respect Kyrie has for her opponents. Because of the fact that she hit it three cutlasses and two insane elbows to put Hudson Envy away. So that really, even though Hudson is eating those last, you know, five big strikes between, again, three cutlasses and the two insane elbows, Hudson's getting put over here because Kyrie's got to use multiple finishes multiple times to win the five-star Grand Prix. So again, excellent stuff. Go out of your way to watch this match. Folks, that brings us to the last match of this little bonus episode as we go to the 2016 five-star final. This match did not take place on the 23rd of September. This match took place on the 22nd of September 2016. Blue Stars winner Yoko Bido taking on Red Stars winner Tessa Blanchard. At this point in 2016, Tessa Blanchard was probably the best female wrestler in North America. She really was. She was crushing TNA or Impact or whatever it was called. She really was on another level. Unfortunately, in this tournament in 2016, there's not a lot of matches that you can find. Like even this, the final night, this is the only five-star match that's on this night. The co-main event is Io Shirai versus Kaylee Ray, now known as Alba Fire, for the World of Stardom Championship. And here we are some 8 years later, and these two are feuding, Io and Alba Fire, Kaylee Ray. They're feuding for the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. Obviously, Io with her tag partner Kyrie, and Alba Fire with her tag partner Isla Dawn. So it's really interesting to see when I went to go pull up the thumbnail, and I do remember that Io had a title defense on this show. It was against Kaylee Ray. And considering the fact that, again, fast forward 8 years to present day, the two of them are tearing it up on Monday Night Raw against each other on a weekly basis. But going back to my original point, as per usual, I got off track. Going back to my original point is these matches from the 2016 five-star are really tough to find. They really are. And I would love to see who Tessa Blanchard was wrestling in that tournament. Regardless, I know Tessa Blanchard is kind of somebody that's polarizing in today's wrestling. And I'm not going to get into that, and I understand. But, I mean, what a fantastic wrestler Tessa Blanchard was and probably still is. I know she does some shots for CMLL from time to time, but in 2016, she really was untouchable. One of the best women's wrestlers in the world at this time. and probably the best women's wrestler, in my opinion, back in 2016. But regardless, her and Yoko Beato. Yoko Beato is somebody that's absolutely fantastic. Yoko Beato was actually the winner of the first main event in the very first Stardom show. So let's get to the action, shall we? We get a big lockup to start. Tessa gets out of the way of a few kick attempts. Yoko Beato, if you've seen Yoko Beato matches, and there's somebody that, again, to the newer listeners of Stardom, go out of your way to watch some Yoko Beato matches because she's fantastic. Yoko Beato has some educated feet, as Jim Ross would say. So Yoko Beato is getting out of the way of some of these kick attempts. Yoko Beato is throwing the kick attempts. Tessa Blanchard is getting out of the way. She knows she does not want to get hit with any of these because it could be lights out, which plays perfectly into the finish of this match. Really enjoyed the psychology of this match. Tessa eventually is able to get a grip on one of these kicks, hits a dragon screw leg whip on Yoko Beato, and she starts building up the knee work on Yoko Beato. Tessa follows it up with a few forearm smashes. Eventually, Yoko Beato comes back with a short arm clothesline. Tessa Blanchard, though, is able to go back to the knee, and she uses that for a snap nair and a soccer-style kick. Tessa starts to focus on Yoko Beato's lower back. Eventually, this match spills out to the floor. Tessa Blanchard is really aggressive here, focusing on the lower back and the knee of Yoko Beato. She sends Yoko Beato crashing into the front row. The crowd here in Corkinall, for some reason, and I don't know how it was for the rest of the show. Maybe I need to go back and watch some of these matches. They're really quiet for this match. And Tessa Blanchard, God bless her, she was doing everything she could to get the crowd involved in this match. She was doing everything to get booed. She was saying, this is your hero. I mean, she was doing typical 1970s, 1980s heel stuff to elicit a reaction from the crowd. But they were really quiet until the last like 2 or 3 minutes of this match. I mean, she was slowing things down, yelling at certain people in the crowd, trying to really taunt Yoko Beato to try to get some sort of reaction. So when Yoko Beato was able to fire up, it would have meant more. But the crowd just, it's weird because it's Corkinall. The crowd just didn't really seem to be into this. Maybe the EO and Kaylee Ray match, I remember being really good. Maybe that burnt them out. I'm not sure, but it really took a while for the crowd to get into this one. And Tessa worked the crowd, again, very much like a 1970s, 1980s territory heel back in the United States. And it didn't work nowhere near as much as she wanted to. Yoko Beato gets sent to the first row of chairs. Back into the ring they go. Yoko Beato hits a few mid-kicks, but Tessa stops her by going back to the knee and hits a flatliner. Yoko Beato finally fires back with a series of kicks that scores her a 2 count. Yoko Beato takes advantage, goes to the top rope, hits a perfect missile dropkick for a 2 count. These two go back and forth with the strikes, eventually spills out to the apron. We get an apron fight that Tessa Blanchard wins by hitting a dragon screw leg whip off the apron. That was gross. Back in the ring they go. Tessa Blanchard misses a forearm that allows Yoko Beato to hit a kick and a German suplex for a 2 count. Yoko Beato quickly follows that up with a B driver that scores her a 2 count. The B driver, which we see so many wrestlers in Stardom use, most notably Momo Watanabe. It's called the B driver because of Yoko Beato. Yoko Beato then goes for a second B driver, but in the words of the legendary Gorilla Monsoon, she goes to the well once too often, as that Yoko Beato has Tessa Blanchard set up in the B driver for the second attempt. Tessa Blanchard is able to counter with a code red for a 2 count. Yoko Beato then hits a series of jumping kicks, hitting Tessa Blanchard in the head, neck, and shoulder area. Again, remember how Yoko Beato was trying to hit those kicks early on, and Tessa's being able to block. She can't block here as Yoko Beato's really pouring on the offense here. She hits a running B driver that scores her a 2 count. Yoko Beato then hits a 360 kick onto Tessa Blanchard. Instead of going for the cover, she picks Tessa Blanchard up and hits a rewind kick right in the temple of Tessa Blanchard, scoring her for the 3 count and making Yoko Beato the winner of the 2016 5-star Grand Prix. Folks, this one, it just didn't seem like it meshed. And again, I know Tessa Blanchard is a polarizing figure, and I'm not going to get into any of the negatives because I don't do that. And I understand if you're somebody that doesn't like Tessa Blanchard and doesn't, want to watch her, that's perfectly fine. But Tessa Blanchard is a great talent, and Yoko Beato is a great talent. they, for some reason, they just didn't gel, and the crowd just didn't seem to be in it. I had it at 3.5 stars, and I actually felt bad giving it 3.5 stars, considering the fact that I know I've seen every, from 2017 until this last 5-star, I've seen every single one of those 5-star matches several times, and I don't think any of them are lower than 4 stars, so there's a very good possibility that this is like the lowest rated 5-star match ever. Again, from what I'm rating it, you know, take it as, you may say, Matt, that's my favorite 5-star match of all time, and hey, that's, you know, hey, more power to you. It just didn't seem like they gelled, which happens from time to time, and the crowd just didn't seem to get with it as much as they should have for a big main event match in Corkinhall to crown the 5-star Grand Prix winner. Again, maybe they might have been burnt out, because I know that Io versus Kaylee Ray match was really, really good. And that's a possibility, but at the same time, 2 matches in a row, you should be up for it, where this crowd just didn't seem, they just didn't seem like they should have been into it as much as they should. But regardless, I thought it was a solid outing. Tessa Blanchard and Yoko Beato, two both really great wrestlers, especially here in 2016. So Yoko Beato winning the 5-star Grand Prix. And folks, that is going to wrap it up for part one of this episode. Next time on this bonus episode, might be in a few weeks, might be in a month. It all depends on when I can get around to watching these matches. We are going to do the 2017 5-star Grand Prix as Yoko Beato, yes, that Yoko Beato, tries to go the only wrestler to be, go back-to-back to win the 5-star Grand Prix, as in the 2017 5-star Grand Prix. Yoko Beato taking on Toni Storm. Yes, that Toni Storm. Not timeless just yet. Then the 2018 5-star Grand Prix we will be reviewing as Utami Hayashista takes on Mayu Iwatani. And then the 2019 5-star Grand Prix as Hana Kimura takes on One Kunami. And again, folks, if you can find me a way or point me in the right direction to give me a link or something, a video where I can watch Kimura versus Ayakawa from the 2012 5-star Grand Prix, I will parachute that episode in, whether it's the second part of this series or the third part of that series. I will definitely watch it, and we'll jam it in here. We'll parachute it in one way or another. But folks, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. This was really fun. It's really fun, me going back to the early days of Stardom, watching these 5-star Grand Prix, watching the younger Nanai Takahashi, watching the baby that is Kairi and the baby that is Io, considering the fact, again, these two are, you know, on a worldwide stage, and Io was just on, in WrestleMania wrestling in front of like 60,000 people at the Lincoln Financial Field in Philly. It was really cool going back watching Yoko Beato. I'm just a huge, huge fan of her. And again, it's nice going back and watching Hudson Envy, who I've never really seen much of her matches. So this is really fun for me. And again, next week, next time on this little series that I'm doing, Toni Storm versus Yoko Beato. And then we will trip along again. These will be about 3 or 4 matches per episode. This is going to be a 3-part series. And again, folks, if you can find that Ayakawa versus Kimura match, let me know. Matt Turner OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter. And folks, that's going to wrap it up for another fun-filled episode. Again, questions, comments, anything you need from me, Matt Turner OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter is the best and easiest way to get a hold of me. You want to shoot me an email, thestardomcast22@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of me via the email system. And folks, that's going to wrap it up for another bonus episode here on the Stardom Cast. Greatly appreciate your support. Can't do it without you. Because like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast. Because we're all together, and everyone's different, everyone's special.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.